This message, entitled The Knowledgeable Mouth, from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Our text this evening is in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. 3 weeks ago, we began a series that will carry us through the rest of this fall, and if the Lord is willing, almost to the new year, on wisdom for our mouths. We've seen from the book of Proverbs that where words are many, sin is not lacking. And last Lord's Day evening, we looked at the mouth that lies and the dangers that accompany that. Well, the Proverbs not only warn us against a wrong use of our mouths, but they also encourage us in a right use of our words. And so tonight we come to consider this subject, wisdom for our mouths, in maybe a little more of a positive light from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. We'll just take time this evening to read that one verse. We read, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly." The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Well, I remember when I was a child, my mother used to read to my brothers and I a series of stories about a boy detective named Leroy Brown. And this young man was a very intelligent young man. As the stories developed, you realize that he had a whole range of knowledge over almost every subject imaginable, so that he could be called, in many ways, a walking encyclopedia. And if you're familiar with those stories, you know that that's exactly what he was. And so his nickname, these series of stories, were stories about the boy detective Encyclopedia Brown. And I used to love when my mom would read us these stories. In each short story, this young man was able to find ways to apply his knowledge to solve some kind of mystery or some problem or some puzzle. And it was absolutely riveting. It was exciting to see the way that he was able to use his knowledge in a given situation in a way that would be tremendously helpful to the circumstances. Well, in a similar direction this evening, the wise saying before us, King Solomon commends the use of knowledge. He says, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly." That word commends, it can be a little confusing. What does this proverb mean very simply? Well, let me give you the way that some other translations translate this. I think they are all getting at the same idea, but sometimes it's helpful to see that because maybe another translation helps us understand. So other translations will read that the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge in a good way. That is very basically what the king is telling us, what wisdom is telling us, that the wise person is the one who uses their tongue to make knowledge attractive, to speak knowledge to others in a way that is profitable, but the fool is the one who spouts out folly. In many ways, it's very simple for us to grasp. That's one of the glories of the book of Proverbs. It is incredibly, almost mundanely, you might say, practical and simple, but that doesn't mean it isn't profound. And what we see, the sense that we get here, is that a wise person is one who is careful in how they communicate their knowledge, how they speak of their learning and their experiences and their understanding. And that being our subject this morning, I propose to speak first on the acquisition of knowledge. So the first thing that I want us to think about as we think about this proverb, the acquisition of knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge, or we might say tonight, the gaining of knowledge, is, whether we like it or not, or whether we think about it often, is really one of the lifelong works of every single Christian. Every Christian is to be engaged in this life in acquiring knowledge. Indeed, you may remember very well, Jesus teaches us what the greatest commandment is. When he was asked by those in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 27, tell us what is the greatest commandment, we all know that answer well. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Our minds are to love the Lord, and they are to be used in his service for his glory. And one of the ways that we do that, brothers and sisters, is to learn of him, to gain a knowledge of all things pertaining to him, whether it's his characteristics and attributes, whether it's his works of providence in our ordinary lives, whether it's his promises, whether it's his word. We are encouraged to know and to learn and to see God in all things and to grow in our knowledge of him. And when we do that, what we are doing is we are using our minds in a way that is distinctively glorifying to him. And it's not difficult tonight to see that this is everywhere one of the biggest emphases of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs everywhere is commending knowledge to us. In fact, you might say, in one sense, it is the whole purpose of this book of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, as this whole book begins to open, the wise king writes these words, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4, we read that one of the very points and one of the very focal points of this book is to give knowledge and discretion. Sometimes we are apt to draw a distinction between wisdom and knowledge, aren't we? Knowledge is the accumulation of facts, but we say wisdom is the application of knowledge. And that's very fitting. That's a good way to remember that. And one can have all kinds of knowledge and still have absolutely no wisdom, but no person, no Christian can be wise and not have knowledge, because wisdom is the application of knowledge. And so Proverbs is always, in so many different ways, positively and negatively, bringing this to bear upon us. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14, we read, the wise are those who lay up knowledge. In Proverbs 18, verse 15, we read, "The intelligent heart acquires knowledge." And in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10, we read that knowledge is pleasant to the soul. And negatively, we see this to being brought to bear upon our minds. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we read that the one who despises instruction is a fool. In chapter 1, verse 29, we read that the hatred of knowledge, the root of that, what that actually is a refusal to fear the Lord. So when you shun knowledge and you say, I don't need to grow in knowledge, I don't need to be instructed, I don't need to learn, the Proverbs teach us that is to not fear the Lord. And so in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, the king says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long, O fools, will you hate knowledge?" I want us to see tonight that our Christian calling is in part a calling to acquire knowledge. And by that, I don't mean that we all need to have formal education. That's one of the problems with our society. When we think about learning, when we think about acquiring knowledge, we think that means I need to sit in a desk and I need to have a teacher teach me. That's certainly part of what it means to acquire knowledge, but it is not at all the only biblical way in which we learn. Rather, there's all kinds of ways in which we learn. We learn through education, we learn through formal instruction, but we also learn through informal instruction. We are called to teach one another in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs that we sing. We learn through our various experiences in life. We learn through the correction that the Lord gives to us. As we advance in age, we are almost inevitably growing in knowledge and increasing in it. That is what I mean when I say we need to be acquiring knowledge. We need to live our lives pursuing it and desiring it and seeking to acquire a knowledge of God and all that He has revealed, both in His Word and in the world at large. It's why King Solomon, in Proverbs 8, verse 10, tells us that we are to desire knowledge more than choice gold. Let me ask you tonight, how do we live that? How do we live that reality, desiring knowledge more than we desire choice gold? Well, let me ask you tonight, what do you desire? All of us have some kind of desires. Some of you are living your lives and you're desiring that moment when you can finally be retired. Some of you desire to make a name for yourself and to earn money and to have financial stability and security. Some of you desire to have a nice house. Some of you desire to have children or grandchildren. Some of you desire to have the comforts of life. But you see, let me ask it this way. Do you desire knowledge more than all of that? Because that's the biblical picture. That's the picture of the book of Proverbs. We are to desire knowledge above all things. And so as Christians, we are to bend all of our efforts to grow in our knowledge and in our understanding. And it is my great prayer for myself and my prayer for you that you would know more today than you knew yesterday, that you would know more tomorrow than you know today. And this is why we ought to be so concerned in a day and a broader church culture that oftentimes seems to have the worst aversion to knowledge. I don't want to learn. I don't want to understand. I don't want to grow. Give me everything as simply as you can. I don't want to be challenged in those ways. And sometimes we say that because we already think we're too smart, or we're too good for it, or we're too busy for it. But we see here, if we are going to have mouths that commend knowledge, we have to acquire it. And it is part of our Christian calling. Let me preach secondly this evening on the beauty of knowledge. The beauty of knowledge. Why knowledge? Why does King Solomon, and you remember King Solomon, don't you? What didn't he have? King Solomon virtually possessed all the world. He had more wives, sinfully, but more wives than any man could even think of. He had more riches and more gold, more reputation. He had a kingdom under his control. He had armies. He had power. Why is it, how is it that this king is able to tell us time and again that knowledge is more than gold in abundance? Well, it's for this reason, that knowledge, in a way that nothing else does, knowledge reflects God. Knowledge reflects something of the beauty and the glory of God. So that when we're encouraged to pursue knowledge, when we're encouraged to acquire true knowledge and true learning and true instruction and true understanding, and I use that word true very intentionally because there is such a thing as false knowledge. When we are encouraged to pursue true knowledge, what we are actually being encouraged to do is to pursue God. And the pursuit of God is worth more than anything else in all the world. Now, where do I get that? Well, if you look at the very start of this book, as we've read some of the opening verses, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we have what many people consider the motto of the book. Or if you are one who knows how to write academic papers, it would be called the thesis of the book. It's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. We read these words, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear that is being spoken of there is not a terror of the Lord, a dread of him. But Scripture uses that word in the sense of reverence or a holy respect for God. And what we see in the book of Proverbs is that it's right there where true knowledge begins. True knowledge begins with a holy reverence of God. And what that means, and what we need to be reminded of as Christians, is that it is possible to know all things, but if God is not in your thoughts, you remain an utter fool. That is the surprising thing. I remember thinking that thought in college. I had PhD professors who had their doctorates in philosophy, who according to the ways of this world had been instructed in the paths of wisdom, but every single one of them without exception did not have God in their thoughts. And so though they were wise in the ways of this world, Scripture regards them as utter fools. It is in a respect and a holy fear of God that all knowledge begins. And so when we read here and when we think of the Proverbs as they commend knowledge to us, it is not commending knowledge to us abstract from God, but it is encouraging us to a reverence and a love and a desire to know Him. But more than that, in Proverbs 2, verse 6, we also read these words, that all knowledge comes from the mouth of the Lord. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, the Apostle Paul tells us that in Jesus Christ is hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, it is in Him, it is in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where all true knowledge begins. Let me try to illustrate what that means. What that means is that the fear of God is to knowledge what learning your ABCs are to writing a novel. The fear of God is to right knowledge what knowing simple arithmetic, like 2 plus 2 equals 4, what that is to learning calculus. You can't learn calculus until you learn the simple basic facts. The fear of the Lord is to knowledge what learning scales on a piano is to learning how to play Beethoven's symphonies. You won't get very far playing Beethoven's symphonies until you learn the basic scales. Or for some of you this evening, think of it this way. The fear of God is to knowledge what swinging a hammer is to construction. You can't build a house till you have the basic foundation. And the Proverbs are telling us this is what the fear and the reverence and the holy respect for God is to knowledge. And this fear of the Lord, it works its way into everything that we learn and to everything that we know. And I emphasize this point tonight because this is precisely what sets Christians apart from non-Christians. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2, when we read these words, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. This isn't some abstract, neutral, ambiguous, fun little proverb that is applicable to everybody. It is a proverb that commends to us a knowledge that begins with a knowledge of the one and the true and the living God. And that's how we need to see it. To see all things and all knowledge and all learning traced back to Him as a reflection of His beauty, as a reflection of His glory. And that is why Scripture puts such a high emphasis on knowledge. And what we've said here this evening helps us to understand the point of this proverb. We are not only to acquire knowledge, there's a beauty to it because it reflects the glory of God. And that brings me to my third point, the communication of that knowledge. As I've already said, this proverb simply defined teaches us that it matters how you communicate your knowledge. It matters how you communicate what you know, what you've learned, what you've understood. You have been given knowledge. The Lord increases your knowledge. You have it so that you can edify other people. We're not given this knowledge so that we can hoard it and keep it to ourselves. We're not given instruction and understanding and knowledge so that we can use that to bludgeon people over the head who don't agree with us. We're not given knowledge so that we can be a know-it-all and treat others around us condescendingly and just murmur and talk and speak of them about how stupid everybody else is, but oh, I am a person of great learning. That's not why we're given knowledge. We're not given knowledge so that we can boast and puff ourselves up. We're not even given knowledge for its own sake. Knowledge is not the end. And Scripture warns us often of the dangerous misuses of knowledge. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, tells us that there is a knowledge that serves nothing but to puff the knower up. And in chapter 13, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul reminds us, he says, and it's such an emphatic statement, I can have understanding of all of the mysteries of knowledge and wisdom, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Scripture warns us of the dangerous misuse of knowledge. But what this proverb is teaching us, what this proverb is encouraging us in, is to remember that it matters how you communicate with others and how you communicate the things you know. Or let me put it this way tonight, your tongue, your mouth has been given to you so that you may speak knowledge rightly and appropriately. If you want to know how to glorify God with your words, which is what this entire series is focusing on, here is one of the ways to commend knowledge to others. To speak what you know in a way that adorns knowledge and makes it appealing, and speak it aright and makes knowledge acceptable to those who hear. One of the ways to glorify God with your mouth is to speak knowledge in a good way. And very practically, you might say again tonight, mundanely, what that means is that we speak knowledge at the right time. You've met those people who speak words of truth, but they happen to do it at the most inopportune times. And rather than commending knowledge, rather than making knowledge look appealing, they actually end up bringing reproach upon knowledge. But a word of knowledge, a word of learning, a word spoken at the right time, we also know can be one of the greatest antidotes against despair and against sorrow. It can strengthen and encourage and enlighten, and it can give hope to somebody. And that's what wisdom does. When wisdom commends knowledge, it speaks at the right time. It also means that it speaks knowledge to the right people. Sometimes when we speak things, oftentimes we need careful discernment, don't we? Those of you who have ever raised children know that you don't speak in the same way to each of your children. Each child needs something differently. Each child, you need to discern appropriately, how am I going to communicate what I want to communicate to child A as opposed to child B? We know that that's necessary, and wisdom knows that this is necessary in the way that we communicate with others. That we need to speak words of knowledge to the right people. Carefully discerning and adapting to each person and their circumstances. And it also means that we speak knowledge in the right way. It is possible to speak those things that are true and those things that we have learned, but to do it in a way that absolutely, and let me add the word unnecessarily, offends others. Sometimes we will offend people because the truth is profoundly offensive to those who reject it. But oftentimes we unnecessarily offend people because we do not speak our knowledge in the right way. We need to communicate with love for the good of others and the glory of God Himself. Isaiah captures so much of this. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, this is what the prophet says. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as one who is taught. That imbibes the spirit of this proverb. To be taught of God, that we in turn might use our words to instruct and to teach and to lead others in the way of knowledge. And you see, it's in this way. When knowledge is spoken at the right time, when knowledge is spoken to the right people, when knowledge is spoken in the right way, it's when we do that that we make knowledge appear lovely. It's when our words decorate it and adorn it and commend it to other people. And there is a principle here in closing tonight. There is a truth here for our life together as a congregation. Each of us, every single one of us, has lips of knowledge on some occasion. God has taught every one of us something for our good and for the good of other people. And we are to communicate that knowledge, especially to those who belong in the household of faith. Or to say it this way, you all know many things that I don't know. And you're called to encourage everyone in the church with words of knowledge. And Lord willing, all of us have knowledge that somebody else doesn't have. And it is our job to communicate that and to commend that to one another. In my humble opinion, this is one of the most unused resources in the Church of Jesus Christ. But a word spoken rightly commends knowledge to those who hear. And all of us have been taught in one way or another, and all of us are to use the tongue to commend knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. May the Spirit make us wise. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for simple instruction. We thank you that you so clearly have laid before us in your word the way of wisdom. We pray that we would walk in it and to choose it. Lord, we ask that you would give our mouths the wisdom that they need. Wisdom to commend knowledge to one another, that we might all grow in our understanding of you, in our fear, in our reverence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Make us a church, O Lord, that is very willing to use the mouth for good and not for bad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.